J6, number 4A.
All right, so we just go on then and see that this then has to do with the first degree of the material. Let's define that to ourselves to begin with. Now, if we look at this diagram that a fellow co-worker has done for us of these three degrees, we can see that if we just isolate off now this realm of the material realm, and let's talk about this paradigm. So this then is materialism. There is now, this is legitimate, there is a school of thinking that goes out from this material paradigm. And it can also be called material monism. It's the belief of what is reality. Remember where the big question we always ask is, what is reality? Well, if we lived within a consciousness of a material paradigm under material monism or materialism, then the answer to the question, what is reality, according to that philosophical worldview, would be that reality is matter, energy. That's all it is. Nothing else. And that we approach that reality through the five physical senses. And that we judge all events according to the material situation. So when we look up in a dictionary just what the term materialism means, just to general world consciousness, that takes the materialism as the paradigm from which they work, and realize that this is a paradigm that is taken as a model still in the world, according to many. Therefore, this materialism is defined, according to the American Heritage Dictionary, as materialism is the philosophical opinion, and thank goodness they said philosophical opinion and not a scientific fact. So they already just put it within an opinion. They say materialism is the philosophical opinion that physical matter in its movements and modifications is the only reality. See, matter is the only reality. And that everything in the universe, including thought, feeling, mind, and will, can be explained in terms of physical laws. That's quite something what's being said here. So there is a paradigm that believes that the answer to what is reality can only be given insofar that physical matter is the only reality. Then you say, well, what can we do about thinking and thought? They say that everything in the universe, including thought and feeling and mind, can only be explained according to physical laws. So to this paradigm, that reality is matter, and what we call the mind is just the physical brain, and the physical brain only has to do with atoms in motion. And that the physical brain is the higher outcome of evolution. As matter evolves, it eventually evolves into the physical brain. But that brain is a matter brain. And that all thought can only be explained according to physical laws. This school of thought does not allow for creativity to come through any divine inspiration. That is not involved. There is no chance for divine inspiration in this paradigm at all. That thinking is just is a material process. In this paradigm, they don't believe that thinking comes, that man's the thought of God, or that we receive thoughts from God or from a divine mind, and that the human mind receives it from a higher mind, from a higher source, from another degree, from another level of inspiration. Know that there's just the brain, which is atoms in motion, and those atoms in motion gives rise to a thought. And they explain creativity on this level really according to what we'd see as the rat amorphic view of man. It's the behavioral school of psychology, really, this materialistic school that would say that, well, creativity, that because you can't deny maybe creativity happens, but they say, well, creativity is nothing more than stimulus response occurring in the brain. That these atoms in motion get stimulated. That let's say that a famous violinist like Yasha Heifetz or something plays his violin not through divine inspiration, they say, but only because of stimulus response. Because when he plays and we clap, he plays to hear the clapping. So it's the stimulus he gets from our response is the only reason why the creativity goes on. And that is the ratomorphic view, because they used rats and mice to, and pigeons, you could call it the pigeon view of the universe. You know how they would drop a pellet and then the pigeon would go over there and eat it. And then every time they rang a bell, they would drop a pellet for food. And so finally all they had to do was ring a bell and it would go over and get the food, you see. It's a Skinner Pavlov behavioral school of psychology. Well, that's a view that is called materialism, or if you like, you could also call it material monism. Monism means that there's only one substance of the universe, and these people say it's matter. And that matter gives rise to the human brain. Then you have just the explanation of matter itself in the Webster's Dictionary, that matter is the substance of which a physical object is composed. It's material substance that occupies space and has weight, that constitutes the observable universe, and that together with energy forms the basis of objective phenomena. So you can see it all reduces itself then to matter. And therefore you can see why they show then that how can we approach reality? Well, the only way you can approach reality in a material universe is through the five physical senses, the five matter senses. Those matter senses are just responding to matter. How do you judge a situation? Always according to the material situation. So, the goal of this paradigm is physical harmony. So one goes for treatment to an orthodox medical doctor in order to bring about physical harmony, because the body and the mind are just mechanisms, are just machines. The mind operates just as a machine and the body is just a machine. And when the mind or body break down, they operate on that machine just like they would operate on a car. It's a mechanism, a mechanical mechanism. Those are according to the laws of Newton, the machine universe. Now, why are we not so happy with this paradigm? What's wrong? I mean, let's say that, why do we feel this isn't the highest? Or why are we annoyed sometimes? Maybe you aren't. Maybe you feel this is right. This is the answer. That's right. It's all matter. And there are people out there who teach and go that it's only matter. And that when we die dead, huh? Dead as a doornail, or dead as a doorknob, or whatever, however, dead as a dodo. That when you die, that's it. It's dust to dust, ashes to ashes, and you only live on through your children. Or maybe if you don't have children, through the work or the houses you've built, or who knows what else. But man is gone, no more, dead. Now, what do we feel about this? Do we like it? Are we happy with this? Do we feel this is the highest? No? What is it? Now, we feel we don't like it, certainly, because I don't think any of us like to feel that we're going to come to an ultimate death, and that's it, no more, gone. We don't like it. It's a funny feeling. But what do we? Are there any indications that this paradigm may not be the answer? It may not be the highest. Are there any indications that that might not be true? Okay, now what about Jesus? Okay, so the logical positives will say to you, I don't believe Jesus. See, they go from this material realm. And they'll say, I don't believe Jesus. I don't see Jesus. He wasn't recorded in history. He didn't live. And the only way you can know reality is through the five physical senses. Nobody recorded him. He didn't live. There's no way when I look out there that I can believe in a Jesus. I have to be able to believe in him through my what the sense testimony tells me. And so they won't allow for anything like that. If he wasn't recorded, he didn't live. But see, so we got to figure out some way that they can, that there's an impact on those senses, a sense testimony that doesn't allow them to say that they can't verify it. Is there anything that happens to the physical realm, because they say we'll only take what goes through the senses, that would trip them up? Dave? Okay. Okay, now healing, huh?
Yeah.
Now that would happen, in what point would they suddenly wonder what in the world's going on? When a healing occurs, when would they only believe it?
The material law.
Yeah, right. The material laws that this person's going to die. You know, when they have out there, according to their material theories, they have a certain fatal, quote-unquote, disease, and that this person must die, according... No. No, 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 no. I know. But there is something that occurs physically where a healing occurs when they have given up, when all their material laws don't allow this person to live any longer, that according to physical... calculations, they should not live, huh? But a person is healed. Now, whether they believe it or not, there is a physical happening there, and the person goes on in spite of their physical laws in their calculations. So it's the only, we see that is a breakthrough. And what is that as a breakthrough? What is happening there? What causes that physical healing, so to speak? Yeah, and what could be that higher paradigm? Not, we want to jump to the spiritual, but can the mental control the physical? Yeah, sure. So that the mental can control the physical, so that there is a, that we see that if they've given up on it, materialism has given up, the person is gone as far as they're concerned, and yet the person lives and is healed and goes on with a normal life, even though they had a fatal disease. It reverses and it's gone. Now, that person, you see, we see it as a mental healing, because that then changes the physical. And why did the physical change? Why do we call it mental? What caused that physical to change? What goes on that makes the physical change in the mental? You called it a higher paradigm.
Oh, the mental determines the physical.
Yeah, okay. That the mental determines the physical, as Mrs. Eddyby shows. She shows there that the mental and the physical are interconnected, and that the mental realm actually is a realm of beliefs, and that as we go on now into the mental paradigm, in that mental realm, then everything can be defined basically with its accentuation on mind and its beliefs. And here it's believed... when you get into mental monism, there's a metaphysical dualism, which I'll talk about, but there is a belief of mental monism insofar as that the physical realm from the mental paradigm is just the mental objectified, beliefs objectified. Then in the mental paradigm, they say because there is the belief of matter, that matter is just that matter belief objectifies itself as the physical realm. The physical realm is just an objectification of beliefs. It doesn't exist per se. It's just beliefs objectified would be the physical realm. That matter doesn't exist any more than a belief in matter. And that's where Mrs. Eddy saw. Remember, that was her healing. That's where she began to say, look it, it's all mental. She says, there's no physical realm per se. There's only the mental realm. And that what looks like a physical realm is just that the mental has the belief that there's a physical realm, that there's matter. And so the mind objectifies its belief looking like a physical realm, but it's a belief objectified. It's terrific. And so therefore, that's why eventually a spiritual healing can occur, because the spiritual ideas correct beliefs, and when they correct beliefs, they change the mental and physical, you see. That's why in Christian Science, it's so important to see the first step is that all is mental. That there is no such realm as the physical. It doesn't exist. It's only a belief. So you begin to attenuate it. And she saw that insofar as I mentioned to you already in homeopathy, as she shows in that sixth chapter, when she was, of course, in the physical realm and paradigm as we all have been born into, and then it didn't help her anymore. She wasn't helped through physical, normal doctors, in the regular general practitioners in the world. She wasn't helped or alleviated, but she began to research into homeopathy, and she began to see that placebos healed. That's a drug without any drug in it. Just salt tablets healed fatal diseases, so to speak. And she said, what's going on here? And she saw that it was a belief in the drug that healed. It wasn't the drug that was healing. It wasn't the matter in the drug healing. It was a belief in the drug. Because she saw as you attenuated away the matter out of the drug, and yet the drug still healed, well, then the drug became mental. The drug took on a mental quality. And so she shows in this sixth chapter then that it's the mentality that is where we're trying to get at. So therefore, it's so that comes into this mental realm. Quite interesting. So it says, and this is where the shift is happening today, from the material into the mental realm. So therefore, in the mental realm, when it says, what is reality, the answer is, well, all is mind. Mentalities, my thinking. How do we approach reality? Well, through right thinking. How do we judge the situations? Well, according to the mental condition. And that's where we begin to get treatment, not anymore through just orthodox medicine, which considered the body to be a machine. But treatment is much more into psychiatry and psychology, psychosomatic medicine, trying to heal the mind, because they know that the mind is causing the sickness. Well, we know not too long ago that some fellow was nominated for vice president, and he had to withdraw because he was under psychiatric help, or had been. That's how prejudiced people were against mental health. They didn't understand it. I think that was back in the, late 60s, early 70s. So we can see now, well, it's vogue to go to your psychologist or go to your psychiatrist or go to psychosomatic medicine. Much more the treatment of the mental is accepted. And one is looking for mental harmony. Now, this mental realm has many various facets to it. First of all, we want to look at metaphysical dualism. That's all part of this mental realm. And this is probably the big paradigm that we were born into. It's kind of between, that which kind of lingers between the material and the mental realm. It's a kind of a bridge there. And it is a came to us, a philosophy that we were, most of us were born into, through Descartes. He was a continental rationalist and one of the original founders, so to speak, of modern, quote-unquote, philosophy of the 17th century. And it was really into this Cartesian metaphysical dualism. Cartesian is just the Latin form of Descartes. It's into this Cartesian metaphysical dualism that probably most of us were born rather than to just all as matter. Descartes divisioned the universe into mind and matter. And he said they were two basic stuffs that constituted reality, mind in spirit or mind and soul substance, or matter energy substance. And he said that each substance has but one principal attribute. That mind's chief attribute was thinking, and that matter's chief attribute was the extension in space. So he showed them that mind has a quality of non-spatial consciousness and is unaffected by external or mechanical causes. But he said that matter has a quality of filling space, of occupying weight and filling space, extending and moving within its own realm and according to the laws of mechanics, functioning like a machine. So into this Cartesian metaphysical dualism, which I see more or less on the fence between the matter paradigm and the mental paradigm, where it says that, well, it's not just all matter, but it's matter and mind, and that the mind has to do with thinking and thoughts, and matter with occupying space and having weight. And of the Cartesian metaphysical dualism, it is said about it, it shows, and Descartes drew a line between mind and matter, that they didn't mingle. Mind could not affect the matter body, and the matter body could not affect the mind. They were in different realms. Because if they said, if the mind had to do with thinking, then how can an idea strike a hammer? You see, how can an idea have any influence on matter, they said. And if matter has to do with occupying weight, then how can a hammer strike upon an idea? So naturally, to Descartes, they said there was a line of division. Mind can't influence the body, and the body can't influence the mind. So there was that philosophy of the separation. Now, that goes on in this mental realm into what is called mental monism. Monism meaning one substance in reality. This still has a little taint because in mental monism it says that all is mind, but now mind gives rise to matter here. In the material paradigm, matter gave rise to the human brain through evolution. Matter evolved finally into the human brain, the physical matter brain. But in the mental paradigm, mind gives rise to matter. It's the opposite. Instead of matter giving rise to the brain, now mind gives rise to matter. So whatever we call it, it's mentalism or monism, or as Harman calls it, transcendental monism. Here, arriving at this mental state of a mental monism where mind gives rise to matter, in the book by Lincoln Barnett, which is really quite good, on the universe and Dr. Einstein, there's a quote in there where Barnett says, "Thus gradually philosophers and scientists arrive at the startling conclusion," he wrote this in 1947, "that since every object is simply the sum of its qualities, and since qualities exist only in the mind," you see how he arrived at that? "Every object is simply the sum of its qualities." Qualities like sweet and bitter and space and time, all these things. It says that since every object is simply the sum of its qualities, and that since qualities exist only in the mind, then the whole objective universe, that whole universe that we see out there of matter and energy, of atoms and the stars, does not exist except as a construction of the consciousness, an edifice of conventional symbols shaped by the senses of man. So you see, that's quite revolutionary to somebody who is still just in a physical paradigm. That whole objective universe of matter and energy doesn't exist except as a construction of the consciousness. That mind gives rise to matter. That beliefs objectify. And you see, this is the point why Mrs. Eddy and Kapler is putting out a new book called The Ordered Approach to the One Being, starting out with step one, that all is mental. Step two, the mental can be good and evil. He doesn't even start out with any sense that all is physical and then the physical can be mental. It just isn't so. That all, you start out in metaphysics, that all is mental. That's where Mrs. Eddy started out in Christian Science. All is mental. She never said anything that the physical was real. She right away says, I learned. In the textbook, she says there that near Death's Valley, near the beginning of science, theology, and medicine, she says, I learned these truths in divine science. She says that matter is nothing more than a subjective belief of mortal mind. See, she all is mental. Matter, the objective universe, is nothing more than a subjective belief. That's mental. But then she goes on to the spiritual. So, therefore, these thinkers are just beginning to arrive at that conclusion, that whole objective universe is nothing more than the construction of our consciousness. And therefore, if our beliefs change, the universe changes. That what we see is what we believe. And many of them begin to see that. They see that we're limited, that our perception of the universe is limited to our symbol systems, to our beliefs. And that if we change our symbol systems, the universe would change. I remember that in one of my books, I quoted Bruce Wilshire in his book, Metaphysics, where he says in there, I haven't the quote and I haven't looked at it for years, but something about how Bruce Wilshire said that we are limited to our symbol systems, just as I said. And he says, if we change those conceptual tools, he said, then the universe could change. And he said, the universe may be quite different than what we perceive it as because we're limited to just these conceptual tools. So he says, if we change our conceptual tools, we may encounter a totally different universe. And many of the scientists see today that we only see the physical laws of the universe are the only laws we use because of the only laws that we can understand. They're the laws that we are dealing with, of the laws of matter, but there are other laws out there. So in order to understand Christian Science, it's imperative that we understand the mental realm, that all is mental, as the first step. And I can remember struggling as a young student in Christian Science with this problem of all is mental. I couldn't get it because matter seemed so substantial to that consciousness and that it seemed to be real. But as one begins to go on to see that, well, it's just the objectification of beliefs and that it changes as belief changes, that's what one begins to see. So I always like to show this mental realm with this illustration of an overhead projector, let's say.